Will you bow your heads with me? Let's approach the throne of grace this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you've given to us. It is another day, another chance to hear your voice. Another chance, Lord, to understand your love. So speak to us now, Lord. I pray that the words that are spoken, and even more than that, I pray that the words that are heard will come from you and will change each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We serve an amazing Creator God, do we not? I mean, God is amazing with the things that He makes. When I stop and think about all of the things in God's creation, I'm just baffled by it. The animal kingdom alone, if you spend time just looking at the animals, I just get amazed by God. He made some wonderful creatures. Let's look at a few of them this morning. We've got the majestic eagle. You watch one of these guys soaring through the air. Just amazing how God has made these creatures. Or if birds aren't your thing, what about underwater stuff? A whale. Have you ever seen one of these guys? I don't know that I'd want to be real close to one because they're awful big. But just amazing how these creatures were built by God. And then I think sometimes God, not that God is a show-off, but when he made some animals, I think he said, I'm just going to show off right here and look what I can do. And he made creatures like the peacock, just beautiful with the colors, the things that God has made. Now, of course, if we're honest, sin has changed God's creation. And so now there are certain animals that actually bring feelings of fear to us today. The classic example that really makes some people nervous is the snake. Anybody here nervous about snakes? Yeah, I'm really actually not afraid of snakes. They don't bother me that much. But if I happen to see a guy like this in the backyard, I think I wouldn't get too close to this guy. Snakes kind of unnerve us a little bit. Or if you say, well, Pastor, snakes don't bother me. Well, what if this guy showed up in your house tonight? A rat. Yeah, you might think he's a little cute unless you found him at night in your bedroom. Then you might not think he was as cute as he is up on the slide there. Some animals just set us on edge. What about these guys? Have you ever met them before, close up and personal? A couple of skunks. They look kind of cute, don't they? You almost want to pet them just once, though, just once. I was on vacation one time in Branson, Missouri, and I was leaving the place we were staying, and I opened the door, and I tell you, not closer from me to Bill, about 6 feet away from me, stood a skunk just staring at me. And I froze, and I slowly stepped back inside and shut the door. I mean, I was more nervous than when you go into those department stores with those ladies who want to spray the perfume on you. As this was a spritz that I really wanted to avoid that day. There's some animals that just really set our hair on edge. Here's one that bothers a lot of folks. We don't have many of them here in Nebraska, but the shark. Yes, that movie Jaws ruined a whole generation of would-be beachgoers when that movie came out decades ago. There are some animals that just kind of give us the willies. And then you knew it was coming, right? There's no way that I could show a list of pictures of creepy animals without showing my wife's favorite, one of them, right? You knew I can't resist it. I have to show my wife's favorite creepy animal is none other than our eight-legged friend, the spider. Yes, I had no idea on the day that I said my wedding vows that I was agreeing to be the official spider squisher of the household. But that is my job. And if I'm not around, Ethan has to do it. There are some animals today that are just scary, aren't there? But are any of you afraid of this next animal? Are any of you today afraid of this? A little kitten. Anybody afraid of that? No, of course not, Pastor. We're not afraid of cats. Me either. I am not scared of cats. Most times. You see, there was this one time. There was this one time that Jeanette and I were looking for apartments in Iowa. And one lady had an apartment that she was renting out. And so she let us go there. And the apartment was the top floor of a building, the whole floor. And so she let us go up there. And it was already occupied. The person that was there was going to be moving out. And so we were going through there looking at things. And it was already furnished. Someone was living there. And I went around and I went to one of the bedrooms. And I opened the door and whoosh, something ran out. I said, whoa, what was that? And we couldn't find it at first. And so we were looking, where'd it go? Where did it go? And then pretty soon, Jeanette says, and we weren't married at the time yet, but she says, oh, there it is. It's just a cat. Now, I turned and I saw the thing. And my wife is a smart lady. She's a very smart lady. But as I looked at this creature, I began to question my wife's knowledge of zoology. I said, that's a cat? This thing had a giant head. Was too big for its body. And it had fangs sticking out of its mouth like this. Giant eyes that were staring at me. And then it started to make some unearthly sound at me. Like that. It looked, not exactly, but something like this. This is the closest I could get to it. Something like that. That's what it looked like. And as this thing is in the room with us, Jeanette says to me, go put it back in its room. I said, are you crazy? I'm not getting anywhere near that thing. And she says, Michael, it's just a cat. She kind of puts her hands on her hips like that. She says, we let it out. We need to put it back. Just go over and pick it up and put it away. I said, woman, you done lost your mind. No way. I'm not even sure if that is a cat. She said, Michael, I'm going downstairs. We let it out, put it away. And then she left me, went downstairs. So now we're alone, just me and so here it is. It's just Pastor Michael and Demon Cat. Only I'm not a pastor yet, so I haven't learned any useful exorcism prayers at this time. So what do? I don't even want to get near the thing. So I came up with the solution. I thought, aha, the Jedi mind trick from Star Wars. And so I went to the cat and I said, there's a mouse in the other room. You want to go eat that mouse? And Star Wars failed me again. It didn't work. Just stared at me. Finally, I think I grabbed something and I shooed the beast back into its lair and I shut the door securely behind it. Terrifying situation hanging out. Some animals are cute. Other animals are just creepy. But I admit, it's hard to imagine being weirded out by a cat. But in the Bible, we find some people who are scared of an animal even less intimidating than a cat. Now, for this next part, before we open up our Bibles today, I need some help today. So again, today we're going to have congregation participation. For this next illustration, to help us understand the Bible today, I'm going to need some help preaching this sermon. I need a brave young man. Kind of in his late teens, early 20s, to come up here. I need a volunteer or I will draft you. I've already got a volunteer. His hands are being pushed up by those next to him. Adam, you look very brave this morning, so come up here and help me preach today. Come on up here, Adam. Thank you very much for being willing. I'll have you come over here. Are you feeling brave today?
Sure am.
Feeling brave? Are you able to look danger in the face and just laugh?
Sure.
All right. Just wait till you get married, because then your wife may leave you with big hairy spiders and genetically altered felines. So are you feeling brave?
Sure.
All right, he feels good. You're a risk taker?
We'll see.
All right, I need you to come over here and sign this waiver for me, if you would. I'm just kidding. There's no. This is very, very safe for me. So, okay, now, before we go on, I don't only just need a brave young man. I need a brave young lady to come up and help me with this illustration that we're going to do today. So I need a brave gal who's just feeling very strong and brave and feeling not too far away from the front. Stephanie, there you are. You sat in the middle, didn't you? You thought that would make you safe. But would you come up? I know of no young ladies who are braver than Stephanie. You want to come up here? Oh, I've got two Stephanies who are coming. No. Yeah, they're arguing over who should come. I have Stephanie Grote and Stephanie Kruger, who are both. Stephanie Kruger has volunteered. Stephanie Grote, would you come up here? I should be more specific in who's my brave. Stephanie Grote, would you come up here and help me today? Thank you. I used to pick on Stephanie. It's not Kruger anymore. It's Ponce. I used to pick on her when she was younger, so I pick on you today. Now, you have a very easy job, Stephanie, very easy job. Come up here, come up here. Now, we didn't clear this before. You guys don't know what we're doing, do we? No. Okay. Our job is we're going to see how brave he is. All right? So what we're going to do, we're going to introduce him to something. And your job, Stephanie, is to take this scarf and just kind of tie it around his eyes so he can't see. You know, Angela, she covered her eyes great, but I don't trust Adam. He might peek. So go ahead and we'll turn you like this and tie that around his eyes so he can't see anything. Very good. All right, tie it tight. Very good. Okay, now, Stephanie, you stay there. Adam, can you see anything?
Nope.
What? Okay, he can't see anything. All right, now you guys wait right there. I'm going to go in the back, and I'm going to go and get one of God's animals, okay? Not the demon cat, so don't worry. I don't have him. But I will be right back, so you guys just hang loose for just a second. I will be right back. Okay, come here. Come here. Here we go. Easy, easy. All right, I got you. I got you. All right, wait right there. Wait right there. Okay, hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. Almost ready, Adam. How you doing?
Doing good.
How you doing? Okay. Okay, just a second. Just a second. Okay, I got him. Easy, girl. Easy, easy, easy. Okay, Stephanie, where are you going? Come back. It's all right. Come back. I'm going to need you. Don't run away. You got to be brave here now. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Easy, girl. Easy. Okay, Stephanie, on three, I'm going to have you take the blindfold off, and we're going to see just how brave Adam is. Are you ready? One, two, and... Okay, pull it off. Three. Grr. I mean, bah. Adam, are you scared of a lamb?
No, I'm not.
You're not scared of a lamb? Is anybody here scared of lamb and sheep? Nobody is. You guys have been great. I'll let you go back and sit down. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for coming up. No, we're not scared of lambs, are we? Of course not. It sounds silly to even mention it. A lamb is not a scary animal. There's no massive horns on a lamb. There's no vicious teeth on the thing. He's kind of slow and fluffy, and they just kind of like to eat. And you guys have probably been to a farm every now and then. Have you ever gone to a farm and seen this kind of sign that says, "Beware of lamb" there? I mean, we see "Beware of dogs" before, and that one apartment should have had a sign that said, "Beware of demon cats." But you never see a sign that says, "Beware of lamb." And yet in the Bible, we find people who are scared, terrified of a lamb. Let's look and see. If you got your Bibles with you today, turn and open to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Last week we did chapters 4 and 5. Today we're going to look at chapters 5 and 6. I want you to turn with me to Revelation 6. So if you've got your hard copy, go ahead and open that up. If you've got the more electronic kind, click that on. And find your way to Revelation chapter 6, and let's find out about these people who are scared of a lamb. Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 15. This is the part of Revelation where the seals are being broken. Amazing things are happening. And in verse 15 it says, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" We find people here in Revelation running, terrified of a lamb. And who ever heard of an angry lamb before? A wrathful lamb? Are you afraid of Revelation's lamb? Should you be? Well, let's find out in the Bible who this lamb is and if we should fear him. Now, the symbol of a lamb appears 27 times in the book of Revelation. And many times when people read this book, the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, they focus so much on the beasts in this book that we lose sight of the lamb, when the lamb is the central figure of the book. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 4, there's a scroll that's brought out and it can't be opened. And so John says, "So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll." So there in John, in Revelation chapter 5, he's weeping because he knows that this is so important that this scroll get opened. And then in chapter 5, verse 5, an elder comes to him and says, "Do not weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah can open the scroll." And what's amazing is he hears lion. Now, I'll admit, when we're talking about animals that are kind of scary, lions, those are not to be taken lightly. You ever seen a lion before, close up? I saw one at the zoo one time, and you can get really close to them, and I remember thinking, I am glad there's a thick pane of glass in between us and this guy. Lions are kind of scary. And so John is told, he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. He hears lion. And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, he looks. It says, "I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb." So he hears lion, but he looks and he sees a lamb, and not just any lamb. He says he saw a lamb as though it had been slain. He sees a slain lamb, a dead lamb. Now, when we picture our lambs in the Bible, we like them to look like this. Well, not quite like that. That's the, I think, what John saw, something like that. A lion-lamb thing. But when we picture lambs in the Bible, we like this type of picture. It's Jesus holding a nice, pretty lamb on his shoulders. That's nice. When our boy Ethan was just born, we decided to do his room originally in Jesus the Shepherd and his lambs. And we had all nice pictures of lambs all over and plenty of stuffed animal lambs. We don't like to picture our lambs like this much. Like a dead lamb. That would offend us, right? And yet that's what John sees. And this dead lamb is there, looking as if it's slain. In verse 8, we find the elders are worshiping this slain lamb. In chapter 5, verse 8. In verse 9, they sing a song to the lamb, only it's not a lullaby. This isn't "Mary Had a Little Lamb." This is a song of victory. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, they sing to this lamb. They say, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your own blood out of every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God." That's a song of victory, isn't it? So why is this slain lamb worthy to open the scroll? Verse 5 says, because this lion lamb has overcome. And how did he overcome? Verse 9 says, "You're worthy to open the scroll because you were slain." Then in verse 12, we find all the angels of heaven who are praising this lamb that was slain. Verse 13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and as such as are in the sea and all that is in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Every created thing praises the one on the throne, the Father. And God the Father and this Lamb are to rule all things. So who is this overcoming, praiseworthy, ruler of all things, slain Lamb? Well, friends, we don't have to act. We don't have to guess. We can just ask. And you don't have to ask me. You can ask John. Because John not only wrote the book of Revelation, he also wrote a gospel. The Gospel of John. And in that, John gives his testimony because he heard the greatest prophet who had ever walked the planet. He listened to John the Baptist. When one day, as John was baptizing in the Jordan, John looks up and he sees a person. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." From John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Now, friends, that's probably not a giant revelation to many of us, that Jesus is the Lamb. But John the Revelator here focuses the reader of Revelation on this slain Lamb. He doesn't just let you see him as a lamb, but he says he's slain. Why? Because Christianity has no victory without a dead lamb. We have nothing without Jesus the Lamb dying. Because Christ was more than a teacher. He was more than just a good man. He was more than a prophet. He was the Lamb who died to deal with my sin and yours. What I do wrong, put him on the cross. What I don't do, the good that I don't do, put him on the cross. And we don't like to picture it. But the Bible says we must. For without the slain lamb, Christianity has no power and no reason to exist. So seeing a slain lamb, picturing it, might not be pleasant. We might not like to view it. But we must. But would seeing a dead lamb, if you actually saw one, would that send you running? Would you be scared to see a dead lamb on the side of the road? You wouldn't run scared. You say, "Oh, that's too bad." But we find that it's the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, scares people to death. They call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Hide us from this wrathful Lamb. So this morning, are you scared of Jesus? Are you scared of him? Are you scared of the Lamb of Revelation? It seems almost crazy to ask, but I sometimes come across people who in their walk with God are scared. Scared that when they take a misstep that God's going to divorce them. Is that what your relationship with God is like, with Jesus? Now I'll admit, in Revelation, the beasts of Revelation are scary. You look at those guys and they will freak you out. But the Lamb? And maybe this morning we should ask ourselves, as Christians, are we more like a lamb or are we like the beast of Revelation? Now think about it. When you're upset, when someone has done you wrong and you're actually in the right, how do you come off in that situation? Do you come off like a lamb or are you more like a beast when someone does you wrong? So we ask this question, why are these people scared of Jesus the Lamb? And why is this Lamb wrathful in the first place? Well, two reasons that I can think of. Number one, they are scared, number one, because this Lamb is not dead anymore. He's alive. And he's coming back. And that's why these people in Revelation are scared. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 26, verse 64, he said, "You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." He's just mere hours away from being put on the cross, and he tells them with confidence, "You will see me coming on the clouds of heaven." That's one reason why these people are scared, terrified in Revelation. The second reason is just as important. They're scared because they have chosen not to believe in the slain Lamb and follow him. We find it in John's gospel, John chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice." He says, "I have sheep that are not here right now, but they're going to hear my voice. I'm going to bring them too." So Jesus is still reaching out to people today, still calling for people to follow him. But sadly, perhaps one of the most dreadful, sad verses in all the Bible is weirdly numerated chapter 6, verse 66. It's weird that it landed like that. But in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 66, after Jesus had been preaching a sermon, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." This is right after he's fed the 5,000. When you add in women and children, maybe 10,000. He's done that. The next day, people wake up and they say, "We have got to find this guy." And so they go follow him. Where is he? This would be like if we had a guest preacher here Saturday morning, and then tomorrow everybody wakes up and says, "We got to find out where that guy's at. And where's his hotel at? We got to hear some more." So they do. They go follow him. And then Jesus preaches again to them, only they don't like what he says. So pretty soon, they all start getting up and heading out the door. He's just left with a few when it's all done. The next verse, Jesus turns to them, to the 12, and he says, "Are you going to leave too?" It's a very touching moment. The Savior says, "What about you? Are you going to leave?" Two reasons why people are scared of Jesus at the end is, one, he's coming back. And two, the major reason, is because some have refused to follow his voice. And they've chosen not to follow. This book of Revelation is an amazing book. It's a book that loves numbers. There's threes, there's fours, there's tons of sevens, tens, twelves, everywhere in there. It's like a mathematician's dream, this book. But when you get to the end of the book, you find lots of twos in the book of Revelation. Tons of twos. You find two suppers in there, two songs that are sung, two women in Revelation. And we find two very different reactions to Jesus when he comes. Two very different reactions when he comes. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Lamb that comes. Some, when he comes, prefer to hide in the rocks and the mountains, and they cry out for death. But there's another reaction to this Lamb. There's another way to react to the Lamb in Revelation, and it's in Revelation chapter 7. Turn with me there. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Some cry out for death, but others cry out. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number." Amen? I love that line. "Of all the nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" What a reaction when Jesus comes. Amen? And my friends, our reaction to Jesus on that day, when he comes like a lamb, our reaction on that day all depends on how we react to Jesus this day, in the days we live right now. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he's more than just a prophet? Do you believe that he's more than just a good man? Do you believe that he is the slain lamb that came back to life? And if you believe that Jesus died for you and came back to life, do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Amen. And if you believe all those things, have you told anyone else about it? I want you to imagine with me. Well, some of you may not have to imagine. Have you ever been pulled over before? Anyone want to confess? Maybe you've been pulled over? Okay. Have you ever been pulled over and you knew that you were caught? You look, as soon as you see the lights behind you, you look, 10 miles over the speed limit. Policeman comes up, he says, "License and registration." They always lower their voice when they say that, "License and registration." You sheepishly give it to him. He says, "I got you. Caught you going 10 miles over the speed limit." He say, "Yeah, I know, I was. I'm sorry." Have you ever had him say, "I'm going to let you go with a warning"? Has that happened? Ladies, raise your hands if that happened to you. All right? All right. Now, Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever had the policeman say, I caught you, you're guilty, I'd like to let you off, but I can't, so I'm going to pay your ticket for you? Has that ever happened? No. I want you to imagine that it did. Imagine that you left church today and you're on such a spiritual high from the worship service and from the sermon, you're driving home and your foot gets heavy. And you get pulled over. And you're caught and the policeman says, I'm not going to give you the ticket, but I have to give it to someone, so I'll pay your ticket. If that happened, would you be telling people about that policeman, the best police officer in the history of police officering? Would you be telling people about him? Oh, come on, every day you've done work. Hey, sit down, I got to tell you what happened to me. I got to tell you about this policeman. We would tell everybody we meet. We'd tell the clerk at the store about the cop who paid our fine. Have we told people about Jesus who's paid our price? What will our friends, how will they react when Jesus comes? What will they say? Our neighbors, our co-workers, our loved ones, when Jesus returns, have we told them about the Lamb that was slain but lives again? How will our loved ones react when the Lamb comes? I'm going to imagine for just a moment, imagine if you will, having a finicky mother-in-law, okay? I have to imagine this because I do not have a finicky mother-in-law at all. And I do not say this because she also watches these DVDs. I say it because it's real. Hello, Jan. So I'm going to imagine having a finicky mother-in-law, and you do the same with me, okay? And she's coming over to your house for dinner. What do you do? Oh, man, you clean the house, don't you? You clean everything up. You make sure the meal is perfect. You're a whirling dervish going through making sure the house is set just so and spotless. Why do you do that? Well, because of the wrath of the mother-in-law, right? Now, imagine with me, if you will, that you're not married yet, but you have a fiancé. And your fiancé is coming over to your house for dinner. So what do? Same thing, right? You clean the house. You make sure everything is spotless. You make sure the meal is perfect. Why? Because of fear? No. Because of love. Jesus Christ is coming back to this planet, a fact that we cannot change. The only thing we decide is how we view him when he comes. Will we see Jesus as a loving fiancé coming for his bride, coming to take us home? Or will we see Christ full of wrath because we never took the time to get to know him today? My friends, Jesus is coming. Amen? Amen? Amen. He's coming as a victorious lion. He's coming as a wrathful lamb, but wrathful only to destroy sin forever. And what will our reaction be when he arrives? How will our loved ones respond when Jesus returns? Friends, let's tell the world. Let's tell everyone we meet about Jesus the Lamb, about Christ the Lion, who paid our price, who paid our ticket, who died for our sins. Let's tell them about this Lamb that's coming again soon. Our dear Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, on that day when you return, may we and all those we love, all those we care for, may all those who have chosen to follow you, Lord Jesus, may we be able to cry out, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. Let us rejoice and be glad in him. Lord, help us to have that reaction on that day when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.